All right, guys. We were discussing on Thursday, we began a topic, really, the other end of the calendar. It has to do with Pesach, but it's found over here in Chulin and Avdalim and Aleph. The Gemara is discussing how committed are the Kusim to keeping the mitzvos, and then the Gemara, in the context of that, brings up the topic of whether or not a Kusi can bake matzahs for Pesach, or what if I have a matzah that was baked by a Kusi, can I eat it on Pesach? And the Gemara concludes that you can eat it. It's not chametz, again, because the kusim are committed to performing the mitzvahs that are in the Torah Shavuot Sav. However, we're not sure if they are biki b'shimor. They're careful with regards to shimor, and that will make a difference whether or not they could use their matzahs. Certainly not chametz, whether or not they could use their matzahs for the mitzvah of matzah, which the pasuk states, u'shmartem es ha-matzah, so you need what we call shmura matzah. It's not enough to know that it's not chametz, it has to be shmura matzah. It has to be an extra kind of watching over. So we had a machlokes rishonim. What exactly does that mean? First, we had a machlokes rishonim. Technically, you know, when does shimur begin? When does it have to be watched over? We saw in the sheet from last time that was a big machlokes rishonim, the Rosh and the Rambam and the other rishonim. And we concluded Rav Rishonim's opinion was you have to watch over from the time that it becomes dough when you mix the flour with the water, which is when it could really become chametz. That's basic shmura matzah, and almost every matzah that you find on the market today, box matzah, square matzah, circle matzah, everything is shamur mishas lisha, the minimum shear of shmura, and therefore all matzah could really be used b'diavad for the mitzvah of matzah. However, it said in Shulchan Aruch, we should be machmir for the opinion of the Rambam, which is what we do, and what we call shmura matzah. Doesn't mean everything else is not shmura, but it's you know, some everybody's equal, but some are more equal than others, right? So some are, everything is shmura, but some are more shamur than others. So there's a shmura matzah. What we call shmura matzah is shamur mishas kitziravia, from the time that the wheat is cut. So we had that machlokas. But then we had a machlokas, what does it mean, and I think they're connected, is where we left off last time, is what does it mean to be shmura matzah? What are we doing in watching over it? So Rashi's opinion here, at the end of the narrow lines, and Avdalim and Aleph, is that it has to be watched over l'shem matzah's mitzvah, for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. And this is perhaps implied by one girsa in the Gemara Pesachim, which we saw last time, Memam and Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that Rava told those when they cut the matzah, when they cut the wheat, they should cut it hafichu l'shem mitzvah. To do so, l'shem mitzvah, meaning for the purpose of mitzvah's matzah, l'shem matzah's mitzvah. That's what the purpose of shmura matzah is, that it should be l'shma. And we compared it to writing a Sefer Torah that has to be l'shma, l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. If you just happen to be writing and it turns out it's Sefer Torah, that's not good. It has to be written l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. You have to have in mind certain things when you write the Shemos. And so to a get, you can't just write a get, you know, a blank form. It has to be, you know, a template or a boilerplate, and then you fill in the names later. It has to be written l'shem gerushin between these two individuals. So too, matzah has to be baked l'shem matzah's mitzvah. That's how Rashi understood. And if that's the case, so then the opinion of Rova Rishona makes sense. When do I inject the lishma? When am I making the matzahs, l'shem matzahs mitzvah? When it becomes the flour, becomes mixed with the water, becomes dough. Now it's starting to tape on the shape, you know, of matzah. So now I inject it with lishma, and that's considered to be matzahs mitzvah. Oh. However, the opinion of the Rambam was, then no, shmura matzah means not injecting it with lishma, like a get, or like a sefer Torah. What it means is to be extra vigilant to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. No, you know, we could tell if it's not going to become chametz, so we have a standard that we apply throughout Kol Torah Kula. They were even had simanim, they could tell by looking at the dough whether it was chametz. So by the effort, you could figure out whether it's chametz or not. We could do chemical testing, you know, assuming chimutz is some sort of tangible, and we don't really know what it chemically looks like. But assuming it is some sort of chemical phenomenon, we could tell by looking at it, is it chametz, is it not chametz, let's bring it to a laboratory and figure out, no. The mitzvah of u'shmartem es ha-matzos is not to rely on those kinds of indicators, but rather to be extra vigilant, to guard it, to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Well, when is the first instant that the wheat could become chametz after it's cut? If it rains on it, it could become chametz right away, even before it's made into dough. So then, according to the Rambam, it makes sense, and this is his opinion, l'shitoso, you don't have to be Grois Alamdin to figure this out. So that's why the Rambam believes you need Shamur Mishas Kitzir Aviyelech. Namishas li shaviyeh, from the time that it's made into dough, because I'm not making the matzah l'shem matzah. I'm guarding it, being extra vigilant that it not become chometz. That's already mishas ketzira v'yelech. In which case, you'd have to learn our Gemara differently. What is our shaila with regards to the kusim? Is not, of course, they're not going to eat chometz. The question is, are they going to inject it lishma? Are they beki b'shima? Are they going to make matzah l'shem matzah mitzvahs? Rashi told us, no. The question is, are they going to be extra vigilant to make sure they not become chometz? Can we trust them to be very frum? They're not that frum. So, it's not going to be chometz, yeah, but are they going to extra, you know, guard it, ushmartim es hamatzes, that it shouldn't become chometz above and beyond that which is required, you know, to make sure that it's not chometz? That we don't know whether the Biki, the Shima, whether they know how to do that. And this position seems to be echoed by the other girsa, in that Gemara, Pesach, Mem, and Aleph, not hafichu l'shem mitzvah, but Rava told them when they cut the grain, cut it l'shem matzah, meaning make sure that it doesn't become chametz. There's no concept l'shem mitzvah, I have to inject it l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Rather, know that this is for the purpose of matzah, and therefore you have to guard it extra to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Okay, that was what we had last time. We said we're usually machmer, we should have shmur mishas ketzira v'yelech, and that's where we ended off. But there's another 2 points that are relevant to this, which come up. The first is with regards to the shayla that's raised by the Rosh. If you have the sheets from last time, the Rosh over here, Oizvav, quotes from the She'iltis, that who is doing the guarding over here? The She'iltis says, well, it can't be a katan, can't be a nachri, a cheresh, or a shoita, has to be an adult Jew. The She'iltis calls for anafik in shidei kovasa, el b'matzah deminto le'michimutz, you have to watch it over, make sure it doesn't become chametz. If it's only a non-Jew who's watching over it, that is not sufficient. It has to be a Jew. The Pasuk Shmartim Es Hamatzos is talking to Jews, and it has to be an adult who can be trusted. But then, the Rosh quotes from Rav Haigoin. And since, by the way, it has to be a Jew, that's why the Rosh says over here, fourth line, it appears in Shulchan Aruch, you got to know about this. The Rosh says, "Ubal emaisa v'chasidim hatmimim machmir mal atzman ki go'ainim machmir v'loshim va'ofim ba'atzman." They would bake matzahs themselves, since it has to be done by a Jew. They would do it themselves, you know, kind of to be involved with the mitzvah, and they would, or at least go to the baking of the matzah and stand over the Jews who are also baking it. It can't be non-Jews, right? And make sure that they are baking the Shei Matzah's mitzvah. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch over here, Zayin v'chein roi l'chol adam lasos l'hitapel hu ba'atzmo b'mitzvah. It's the right thing to do, to go and to bake matzahs yourself. I used to go every year, and I don't have time anymore to shul and whatever. It's always Shabbos HaGadol and something else going on. But if you're not a rabbi, it's a very nice thing to go, to bake matzahs. You scream at the people with Shei Matzah's mitzvah. You know, they're not happy about you, but then you tip them afterwards and it all works out. So it's a good thing to do. But then the Rosh looked back, Oizvav, said the Rosh, V'rav Haigoin Kosav, Matzah Sha'ofa Nachri Lefnei Yisrael. Let's say, you know, the Jews to work in the matzah factories are expensive. That's part of the reason matzah is expensive, because there's a racket. But besides all that, right, it's a monopoly. But besides all that, matzah is expensive because you have to pay, you know, you can't get cheap labor. It has to be Jews. It's nice if they're frum, but they don't have to be, but at least they should be Jews. So that's already, you know, limited employment pool. It's gonna cost more money just for labor. Rav Haigoin Kosav, matzah sha'ofa nachri lefnei Yisrael, alidei shimur ketikuna mutaras l'Yisrael la'ayichla. Yes, we said it can't be guarded only by non-Jew. What if I have a non-Jew who's working, though, and a Jew will stand over him? Says Rav Haigoin, that's fine. That's okay. What we call Godol Omer Al Gabov is fine. Yeah, the concept of Yerba Shrita, Godol Omer Al Gabov is fine. It has to be a Jew. Shmartim Es Hamatzos, but let a Jew stand over the Nachri. That'll cut down employment costs. All the people rolling the matzahs will be Nachrim. And you have a Jew standing over them. That was the opinion of Rav Haigoin. However, the Beis Yosef, we'll go back down, always test. Simon Tov Sama quotes from the Chuvas HaRashba, who asked on Rav Haigoin, how could it be Gadol Omer Al Gabov is good enough? What about get? Let's say you have a get that's written by a sofer who's a nachri, but there's a non-Jew who's standing over him telling him what to write. There's a Jew who's standing over him telling him what to write. Is that good enough or not? The Gemara says no. Look, Oishches, the Gemara, Gitin, Chav Gimel, Meralav, Hakog, Sherem, Lichtov, Es HaGet. Everyone is kosher to write a get as long as they're Jewish. Afilu, Chere, Shaita, V'Katan. Even a Katan, But he's not a bar dallas. How can he write a get the katan? If there's an adult standing over the katan, he can inject lishma into the actions of the katan. I can superimpose my intentions on his actions. Fancy concept. That's the way the Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. I can stoop my lishma into his actions. Okay. Amalei Rav Nachman El Me'ata. Let's have a sefer who's a non-Jew. And I'll have a Jew standing over him. Hachinami the kosher, such a get kosher. And if you're gonna, you know, have the temerity to tell me that it is kosher, we have a brisa. He's possible under all circumstances, even if there's a Jew standing over him. Why? Why is he different than the katan? Why can't the Jew inject lishma into the actions of the Ovi Kochavim? Ovi Kochavim will die to the Nafshei Ovad. Anybody who's adult has their own agenda. Katan is a totally, you know, a blank slate. He has no agenda. If I can superimpose my intentions onto his actions, he's not thinking about anything. The guy, you know, the Ovi Kochavim, everybody who's an adult, you say Godel in life, right, has something that they're thinking about, some reason that they're doing this, and I cannot inject, therefore, or superimpose my intentions onto his actions. So by a get, a Jew who's standing over a guy writing the get is still not considered to be a get lishma, says the Rashba. So a guy who's baking matzahs and a Jew is standing over him, how could that be matzahs that are baked lishma? That's the kash of the Rashba. Ain't other yoytzim of matzah shalosh anachri over here. The Beis Yosef says, "I feel Yisrael amino gabu from mazhiro sheichavim l'shem matzah." Even if he screams, you know, everyone together now. L'shem matzah smitzah doesn't work. L'fisha ain't a guy. I say, well, that's atzma. Well, I'll die to him. What? How could it be that it's kosher with a Jew standing over the non-Jew? He's doing it. I'll die to the nafshei, like the Gemara said in Gittin. So how could Rav Haigoin have held that matzah that's baked by a non-Jew with a Jew standing over him is matzah lishma, shmura matzah? It's no different than a get that has to be written lishma. If a Jew is standing over the non-Jew, it's not considered to be written lishma because the Jew non-Jew is adapted to nafshi over. That's the kasha Rashbo Esra Vaigon. So Rav Pesach Frank answers in the Mikroi Kodesh. Others have this also. Same answer. Is that Rav Haigon felt this is not the same as Gittin. A get has to be written lishma. You have to inject it with certain intentions. So you're right, a guy who's riding a non-Jew standing over him, he can't over superimpose his intentions on the guy's actions. He has his own agenda. And the Rashba felt the same is true by matzah. Like Rashi said, what does it mean, shmura matzah, baked lishma? I can't inject lishma into the actions of the non-Jew. He's an adult. But Rav Haigoin held that's not what shmura matzah means. Shmura matzah means that we should be extra vigilant that it not become chometz. It has nothing to do with my intentions. So what that the person who's actually handling the wheat and the grain is a non-Jew, but the Jew is supervising, overseeing that which is taking place, and he will be extra vigilant to make sure that it not become chometz. So the fact that he's not the one who's handling a biyadan doesn't matter. Rav Haigoin understood shmura matzah differently than Rashi, or than the Rashba. It doesn't mean to inject it with lishma. It's along the lines of the Rambam. What does shimur mean? The Rambam's language is, shelo yehei bo shum chimutz. There shouldn't even be a trace of chimutz. Extra vigilant. That's what it means, shmur matzah. So then even if a non-Jew is the one who's handling it, if a Jew is watching over, that should be okay. Okay, gadol amid al gabav. So that's we're machmer on this in the other direction. Everybody who works in the matzah factory is supposed to be Jewish. Sometimes you go there, you're not so sure, but really everyone there is supposed to be Jewish. We hold Gadol Amid al-Gabav is not good enough. We're machmer in both directions. We try and have Shmur Mishas Kitzira to make sure vigilant does not become chametz. At the same time, we say L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. They should have in mind L'shma, and all the people who are handling it should really, ideally, be Jewish. Yeah. It's nice to have Yeshiva Bachrim. That's Lakewood Matzah, you know. Everyone is Talmid HaChachamim. That's a nice thing, too. But another nafkamina though. However, if matzah, that shmura matzah means, it's made l'shem mitzvah, how long do I have to eat it for? Well, one kezayis at the night of the Seder, right? That's typically what we assume. But let's say shmura matzah doesn't mean that it has to be made l'shem matzah's mitzvah. And when is the time to fulfill matzah's mitzvah? Only the night of the Seder. What if it means shmura matzah that I have to make sure there's no trace of chametz? Then it stands to reason that how long do I have to eat shemura matzah for? Not just the first night of the Seder. When am I prohibited from eating chametz? All of Pesach. Now perhaps there's an argument to be made that you have to have Shmura Matzah, not only the first night of Pesach, but throughout the duration of the Yom Tov also, to make sure that there's no trace of chametz. One could have argued, even if it means to make matzah lishma, you have to have it all of Yom Tov, because the famous Vilna Gaon, that even though eating matzah is an obligation only the first night of Yom Tov, but there is a fulfillment of eating matzah the rest of Yom Tov. So perhaps just like the first night you need shmura matzah that's baked lishma, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah the rest of Yom Tov, you'll also need matzah that's baked lishma, like the other side of the coin from Sukkot, right? The first night you have to eat in the Sukkah, the rest of Yom Tov, if you eat in the Sukkah, you fulfill a mitzvah. So to matzah, the first night you have to eat it, the rest of Yom Tov, if you eat it, you fulfill a mitzvah. So then maybe you have to have shmura mitzvah, matzah too. That's another reason to have shmura matzah all of Yom Tov. But perhaps if the mitzvah of shmura matzah is not to make it lishma, even without all that, if it's to be shomer or something called tzad chimutz, to make sure that it becomes chametz, extra vigilant, then it certainly is logical and compelling that you have to have shmura matzah all of Yom Tov. And indeed, the Rambam is l'shitoso here too. The Rambam holds shmura matzah shomer mishas kitzira. Not that it has to be made lishma, it has to be shomer mikol tzad chimutz. No chametz, no relying on simanim later on, empirical evidence later. I got to be extra vigilant to make sure it doesn't become chametz. So you got to watch over it, not only when I start making the matzahs to inject it with lishma already from the time that it's cut. The Rambam therefore says, never mentions that the mitzvah of matzah is limited to the night of the Seder. The Rambam implies Shmura Matzah is all of Yom Tov. Look back at Ois Gimel, the Rambam says in Perek Hey of Hilchos Chametz and Matzah Locha Ches, there the Magen Mishnah says, V'lo nizkar b'halachos v'lo b'divrei Rabbeinu. The Rambam never mentions Shum Chilik bein ha-matzah sh'alayla ha-rishayin la-matzah sh'adam oichol b'shar yimei ha-pesach. He never mentions any difference. You got to have Shmura Matzah the whole time. Wow. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik was machmir to have matzah the whole, shmura matzah the whole of Yom Tov. You could have been machmir to have shmura matzah the whole of Yom Tov for a different reason, like the Vilna Gaon, that you only obligated to eat matzah's mitzvah the first night, but if you eat it the rest of Yom Tov, you'll be in fulfillment of a mitzvah. So there are those who are machmir to eat shmura matzah all of Yom Tov for that reason. But Rav Soloveitchik was machmir based on the opinion of the Rambam, that shmura matzah means shomim, he called tzad chimutz, the Isur of Chometz extends all of Yom Tov, then it stands to reason you have to have shmura matzah not only the first night of Yom Tov, but throughout all of Yom Tov also. Okay, so two perspectives. What does Shmura Matzah mean? Rashi over here kind of like duped us. You know, he told us his opinion. Shmura Matzah means as Vibeit Lishma. It's not so poshut that that's what it means. The Rambam, other Rishonim, felt differently. That's Rashi's position consistently throughout Shas. That's what Shmura Matzah means. All right. Okay, Chabad, let's go on. Four lines from the bottom over here, the Adam and Aleph. Gufa. The Gemara is done with the Kusim. We're going to come back to the Kusim, but for now. Amar Rava, Yisrael Mumar Oichel Nevelas L'Teyovin. The Yisrael Mumar, who eats Nevelas L'Teyovin, right? He has a desire to eat cheeseburgers, he eats cheeseburgers. Not, he's not angry at God, but he is, okay. Can't help himself. So, Bodik Sakim and Oysenoi. You can check the knife and give him to Shecht. Umut Alechom Mishkitah, so you can eat from Mishkitah. Why? But he eats Tarfus. He's obviously a religious Jew in other areas, otherwise he's a Mumar not only for Nevelas, he's a Mumar for Kol Torah Kula. He's a religious Jew, but, you know, when he's on vacation, he splurges, you know, those kinds of Jews. Yeah. All right. Fine. He doesn't want to be bothered with shipping food and, you know, feeling Jewish when he's on vacation. Leave me alone. Fine. But he's otherwise religious. So you can trust him if you give him a knife to chef, that he'll chef properly. My time? Why? How can we trust him? Cave in the Ike had Teravi Surah. Since it's just as easily he could chef properly or chef, you know, carelessly, why would he chef improperly when he could just as easily chef in a kosher fashion? Why would you eat Isurim if for no reason? He eats Isurim because he has a taiva. He's on vacation, doesn't want to be bothered with this, you know, hashkacha business. So he lowers his standards when he's on vacation. But but if it's here, why would he, why would he go out to the treif restaurant when he can get it from a kosher restaurant? So why would he chef improperly when he can chef properly? Kilo badak nami. I don't have to. Why am I bothered checking the knife? Just trust him. No, mitrich lo tarach. Because if the knife is no good, he's not going to go find the kosher knife. I'll just check whatever is with him. He eats whatever is convenient. So fine. So therefore, you have to check the knife to make sure it's kosher. But then his action of shkita, I can trust he'll do in a proper fashion. Since why not? Amalei rabbanu l'rava tana de mesayei l'cha. Let's bring a brisa that supports this. Chemson shel oivrei aveiro. You have chametz of people who are not careful to get rid of their chametz on Pesach. What's the status of chametz after Pesach? So that's called chametz shavol over Pesach. We assume it's prohibited only midrabbanan. That's why if you're not sure, See, there are certain stores, we know everything in the store is chametz shavuot over Pesach. It's chametz that was retained by a Jew, even if he's not religious on Pesach, and that's also midrabbanan, as a knas, a penalty for not getting rid of your chametz properly on Pesach. So let's say Target. The distributor for Target is a company known as Cohn and Siegel, CNS. Guess what? They're Jews. How did you figure that out? When I bought my wedding suit, I think I bought my wedding suit. Yeah, I don't think they exist anymore. At a store called Mo Ginsburg's. Anybody know about it? It was a suit store in the city. So I didn't get all my suits. The wedding suit my parents bought me was a fancy suit store. So called Mo Ginsburg's. I think it closed down. So I asked the guy, I said, is there anywhere close to buy? I can get a check for Shatnez. The guy's like, dude, the name of the store is Mo Ginsburg. He said, we check all of our suits for Shatnez. I don't know why I trusted the guy. Foolish at the time. I was an hour, but I should have gotten a check anyway. But okay, fine. So CNS, Conan Siegel, right, is Jewish. And they don't sell their chametz on Pesach. So therefore, everything they hold in their distribution centers is chametz shavuot over Pesach. And they supply, they're the sole supplier of these kinds of shelf products to Target, to other large stores where many people buy chametz. So that's why you have to wait till the cycles through, till there's turnover, to make sure that what they have on the stores and Target wasn't in the warehouses over Pesach of Cohn and Siegel. Okay. That's chametz shavuot over Pesach. It's also midrabbanan. Let's say I go into a local bodega over here and I buy a box of Cheerios. So I have to be afraid maybe he got it from Cohn and Siegel. So, no, it's a suffix. Maybe he did. He might have, but it's likely he didn't. So it's a suffix. Okay, so suffix midrabbanan, lukul, the holy stuff, chametz shavuot over Pesach, only us midrabbanan. It's a knas, a penalty to those who didn't handle their chametz properly on Pesach. Target, we all know, this disclosed to the shareholders, that their sole supplier for these items is Cohn and Siegel, so there's no suffix at all. Once it comes to Lag BaOmer, could there be a box of Cheerios that was at one point in their warehouse, over Pesach, that's still on the shelves? Yes, but the majority is gone, and now we can say suffix to Rabbanu Lakul in those stores as well. That's why we wait till Lag BaOmer. Okay, but there was an opinion in the Gemara of Yehuda, that's Reb Shimon's opinion, that Chametz Shavuot Pesach is also Midoraisa. Because the Issa of Chametz is repeated numerous times in the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is one Issa of Chametz is before Pesach, one Issa of Chametz is on Pesach, one Issa of Chametz is after Pesach. What kind of Issa of Chametz, he says, is an Issa of Chametz before Pesach, Mishay Shadol Solamayla, from 6 hours and on Erev Pesach, an Issa of Chametz on Pesach, says Rabbi Yehuda, and the Issa of Chametz repeated a third time, for what? For chametz after Pesach. What kind of isav chametz is there after Pesach? Enough, it's over. Erev Pesach, we're out eating pizza. What kind of isav chametz? No, if you mishandle your chametz on Pesach, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is chametz shavuot Pesach is an isav midrash. So we don't paskin that way. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says over here, commenting on this whole story. Tana de Misayelucha. Of course, by the way, chametz is also aser not only b'achila, it's aser behana in all forms of benefit. That's a whole sugya in the Gemara Pesach Machav Beis. How do you know that? So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Avo, every time the Torah says the Iser of Achila, Echad Iser Achila, Echad Iser Hanoa B'mashma. Every time the Torah prohibits something by Achila, it's generally Aser and Hanoa too. You'll say, what are you talking about? Kosher tray for meat is not Aser and Hanoa, right? It's not Aser, I can take Nevela meat and feed it to my dog, even though I benefit from it. I can buy Nevela meat to feed to my dog. It's not Aser Hanoa, that's true, but the Torah goes out of its way to say Nevela meat, what are you supposed to do with it? Lakelav tashlichun oso, omachul enachri, or you could sell it to the nachri, or you can give it to your dog. So nevela meat, the Torah goes out of its way to say is permissible in other forms of benefit. But every other time the Torah says, you're not supposed to eat something, eser echad eser achilav echad eser anav b'mashma. It's Gemara Pesach Machav Beis. Fine, we have the basics of Hilchos Pesach. So it says over here, Tanit Misayelacha, Chemtsin Shol Oivre Avera Achar Pesach. The Chametz of Oivre Avera, who are Jews, obviously, and they mishandled their Chametz on Pesach, they didn't get rid of it. Mutter Miyad. I can eat it right away. Mibnei Shehen Machlifin. Now here the assumption is that these people are otherwise religious. That's not the case in the people, the institutions we've been talking about. These people are otherwise religious. They don't get bothered with this, nitty gritty, chametz on Pesach. It's too cumbersome. Come on. Be real, right? Okay, fine. So they're not going to handle the chametz properly. After a Pesach, I can buy from them. They probably already sold that chametz right away and got new chametz. Why would they retain chametz of over Pesach, which is aser? They probably switched it with chametz that was not over over Pesach. They probably switched it. So you see, meaning, why would they keep it around? They probably switched it with something which is mutter, because why would they eat something which is aser when they could eat something which is mutter? Supports the statement of, who was that? That supports the statement of Rava, that Yisrael Mumar, why would he shecht improperly when he could shecht properly just as easily? So over here, they're going to eat after Pesach. Why would they eat, retain the chametz of Pesach, which is aser? Let them switch it for chametz, which is not over lava Pesach. Chamani, Rabbi Yehudi, who is his father? Rabbi Yehuda d'amar chametz, achara Pesach, d'iraisa. He holds the three yisurim of chametz, one before Pesach, mishay shos to the mile from the 6 hour and on, erev Pesach, one on Pesach itself, one achara Pesach for Pesach, chametz over Pesach. So it's awesome, d'iraisa, let them switch it and get something which is not awesome. V'katani, v'bnei shehen machlifin, amalo shavikater, v'achal yisura. You see, why would you leave isur in your hands? You might as well switch it in order to eat something which is mutter. How do you know that this is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Chametz over Pesach is also mitzvah d'oraisa. Maybe it's Rabbi Shimon. Dama chametz achar Pesach d'rabbanan. It's only also mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a knas for mishandling your chametz on Pesach. V'chima kalinam b'd'rabbanan. Maybe the only time we can assume that the the partially religious Jew is going to retain an Iser when he could just as easily buy something which is mutter, is only when it comes to an Iser midrabbanan, something the rabbanan lekula anyway. I don't know if what he has in his store is chametz or not, that was in his hands on Pesach. Okay, so by an Iser midrabbanan, we can be meiko. V'dairaisa lo mekalina, maybe when it comes to shechita, you can't say, well, he could just as easily shecht properly, he could just as easily shecht, in an improper fashion. Let's assume he's not going to violate an Iser. I can't do that. I'm still not sure. Maybe we have to be machmir when it comes to the rise of it. Havi nami Rav Shimon says, "No, just the opposite. If the guy's going to go out of his way to avoid an Issa the Rabbanan of Chametz Shavuot Pesach, certainly he's going to go out of his way to avoid Nevela meat of shechting improperly. V'tehavi nami Rav Shimon, even if it's Rav Shimon, mi katani, does it say shani omer hechlifu? I'm not guessing that he switched. Mepnei shemachlifin. It's not a guess. It's not a suffix." That I'm saying Safik de Rabbanan Lekula as opposed to Neveira that is Safik de Raisa the Chumra, I know for a fact he switched it. Mipnei Shem Achlifin. We have tested it, we have studied it anthropologically, sociologically, it's been studied, they switch. So if he switches to avoid an Isma de Rabbanan, certainly he's going to, if he can easily, he'll avoid an Isma de Raisa. Katani de Vade Machlifin. Uma de Rabbanan lo Shavik Keter of Achli Sur. If it comes to an Isma de Rabbanan, he's not going to leave it in his hands to eat an Iser when he could just as easily buy something which is mutter, but the Raisa lo Kosher. Again, when it comes to Shkita, why would he shecht improperly when he could just as easily shecht properly? Okay, that's the Gemara. So why is this guy selling his chametz? What is this guy going to do? Let's just analyze this for a second. You have a guy who's not that religious, right? Okay, he can't deal with chametz on Pesach. It's too much cleaning and everything. Enough with this religious business. Fine. So he's going to retain his chametz. Can you buy from him after Yontif? At least in the times of the Gemara, you could, because he certainly switched it. That does not apply in our times. They are not certainly switching everything. No one's doing that. They're not religious at all. Fine. But in those days, they were religious. He wasn't handling chametz. So you know what? Why would he leave around in his store chametz over Pesach? I don't buy chametz that's not over lava Pesach. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, why is the guy selling it? Mipnei shehei machlifin b'shal oivdei kachavim. He's going to buy chametz that belonged to a non-Jew over Pesach, so that no one violated any Iser. Dekevin the matzi lecho hatera the chametz shal oivdei kachavim shal over Pesach mutter. Mutter, that's mutter. He'll switch that which he retained with that which the guy retained. So lo akal di day the chametz of Yisrael shavu lo Pesach aser. His chametz is aser. The chametz of the guy is mutter. He's going to buy the chametz of the guy. But still, says Rashi, wait a minute. Chametz though is aser b'hana. It's all forms of benefit. So what did I do when I sold my chametz? That's achara Pesach. Am I deriving benefit from that chametz? Yes, I am. How so? I am deriving money or switching it for other chametz that was retained by the non-Jew. V'avagav the hashtanami iserhu legabe. He's still violating an iser, and he is not allowed to eat this chametz, because this is what he benefited, what he switched, he swapped for his chametz, which is also an anoda. Mishanim chametz lovav pesach. He's benefiting from chametz lovav pesach, even though he's not eating it. He's taking something that was swapped for it. D'ilav diyahevle lovi kachavim. If he didn't give the lovi kachavim his chametz, lahavi yahevle diday, he would never have given him the non-Jews chametz. Even though he's still also, he's still prohibited from eating it, it lowers the level of Isa somewhat, or he benefits somewhat, and therefore he's going to swap it. Udidan, even though it's prohibited for him to eat it, because it's what he got for swapping out his chametz, which was asur, which is prohibited in Hana. Udidan miyashari. Says Rashi, again, let's say, right? Let's say this is the chametz shalom of Pesach. This belongs to the non-Jew on Pesach. This is permitted, this is asur. So if I switch this for that, now this is what I got in lieu of the Isur Hana. So this is now prohibited to me. Says Rashi, it's prohibited to me because I benefited by swapping my chametz shalom of Pesach, but everyone else is permitted to eat it because they didn't benefit from the fact that I swapped out my chametz shalom of Pesach. Yeah, but you should say, 1 minute, this was asur b'hana. When I swap it for this, this should take on the principle, the properties of an Isur Hana too. It should be toifes as damav. This is asur b'hana. I swapped it for this. This should now be asur b'hana. No, we don't go that far. That's called toifes as damav. The Gemara says, Maseches Kiddushin, that's only limited to 2 halachas or 3 halachas. Teshvius is toifes as damav, and Avodah Zarah and Hektish are toifes as damav. Look over here. The Gemara Mishnah says, Maseches Kiddushin. Rashi quotes it. He alludes to it. The Mishnah says, Maseches Kiddushin, the following. Tosis is going to quote this too, so keep it in mind. Hamekadesh ba'arla. Person gives a kala. Find something a little bit more romantic, but all right. Mekadesh ba'arla ubikalaya kerem. Arla is the first 3 years that a fruit tree grows. The fruits are prohibited in Hana. Not only eating in Hana. You'll say, where does this happen? Only in Eretz Yisrael. No, this applies in Chutz La'aretz too, by the way. Someone called me over Sukkis. Mamish halacha l'maisa. Arla, how often do you get that? Can you? It usually never comes up. You know why? Because the first 3 years of a tree's life, it barely produces fruit. But what they start doing now is they take a branch of a tree that's already producing fruit, and they have some way of planting that so that the trees grow more quickly. So you have trees now producing fruit even quicker. I didn't know that, but that's... A guy went apple picking. What could be better? Apple picking. Chalamai tzukis. Guy went apple picking. He did a smoozing with the guy, the owner. He says, how long you own this field for? 2 years. Really? He says, where'd you get the trees from? Oh, the fantastic technology that we can plant the trees in 2 years. So the guy says, oh, gewalt, it's Arla. So then someone else on the tour said, there's no Arla in Chutz La'aretz. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. I'm Aretz. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. So the guy said, fine. So he called me after the trip. So what are you talking about? It's a Gemara. It's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Arlo applies in Chutar. It's Halach L'Mashim Sinai. The Pasuk is referring to Eretz Yisrael. But anybody who learned the end of the first paragraph of Sefer Kiddushin knows that Arlo of Daf Lamed Tes, Arlo in Chutar, it's Halach L'Mashim Sinai. I told him it's Halach L'Mashim Sinai, and it's not even a suffix. It's mutter if it's a suffix. The guy told you it's Arlo Mamash. He said all the trees are only 2 years old. So the guy is sitting there so angry. He says, right after Yom Kippur already, now I have Arla on my plate right now. Okay, fine. Anyway, it applies in Chutz La'aretz too. So it's prohibited in Achila and prohibited in Hana. Kilaya Karem, that's if you mix grain and grapes. Not only is it prohibited to eat it, it's prohibited in Hana. Shara Nisko, Shara once just been stoned, the Negla Rufa, Tzipori Mitzora, Seir Nazir, the hair of a Nazir, Petah Chamor, the firstborn of a, Chamor. Basa b'chalav is prohibited in Hana. All of these things are prohibited not only in Achila and Hana too. Chu and Shanish Chetu Ba'azara, or if you take a non-hektish animal and a shechtan inside the Beis HaMikdash, prohibited in Hana. Ain't a mekudeshes. I use those to be mekadesh a woman. They're not mekudeshes because I can't get anything in lieu of this because it's prohibited in all forms of benefit. What if I sell it and I use the money? That which I swapped out. So there, the Mishnah says Mekudeshes, right? That means I have Arla, I swap it out for this. I'm not supposed to do that because I'm benefiting from the Arla. But does this take on the properties of Arla and this is prohibited in Hana too? No. No, it doesn't. And therefore, if you take the money that you got, you shouldn't do it because you just benefited from the Arla. But if I take the money from the Arla, I can use that to be Mekudesh a woman, it will be Mekudeshes. It's not Toifus, it's Dumav. So says the Gemara, Machron, Vekidesh, Vidameh, Mekudeshes. The Kiddushin is good. Minolan, how do you know that's good? Midegali Rachmana b'avodes kechavim b'vahayisa cherem kamoyu. The pasuk says, by avodah zara, whatever you swap out for the avodah zara is like the avodah zara itself. Kol shatama haya hayamena harehu kamohu. Whatever you swap out for the avodah zarah is toifes, is dumb if takes on the property of the avodah zarah. Mechal the kol isurim shabatorah show. Every other Easter is not Teufis is Domav. Then the Gemara says the same is true by Shvius. Shvius is Teufis is Domav. Avodas Chachamim is Teufis is Domav. Shnei Ksum Abom Ke'echad Eim Alamdin. These are the two exceptions to the rule. The general rule is it's not Teufis is Domav. So if I have Arla, I have Basa B'chala, I have Chometz, or Asar and Hanah, I swap it out for something else. You are not supposed to do that because you're benefiting from the Chometz. But if you did, this is permitted in Hanah. Doesn't take on the same property. Says Rashi, though, who is it permitted in Hana to? Everybody else. The person who swapped it, no. Come on. You benefited from the Chametz. You benefited from the Arla. If I give it to a woman, the Kiddushin is valid because she can benefit from it, and I gave her something she can use. But the person who himself swapped it, or herself, right, swapped it out, can't benefit from it because that's kilo. I'm benefiting from the Arla. It's as if I'm benefiting from the Korei Karim. It doesn't take on the same properties. Others can benefit from it. I can't because I swapped it. So let's read back in Rashi. The Avagav da Hashtanami Isahu Lagabe, the Hamas Hanim, the Chomet Shavuot Pesach. I am benefiting from the Chomet when I sell it, or when the not so religious Jew swaps out his Chomet that he has on Pesach for Chomet of an Achri. He can't benefit from it. I only got it because I swapped out that which I gave him. And it's prohibited on off. It's still the less of an Iser. It wasn't the Chometz that genuinely that I retained on Pesach, so it's less of an Iser. So it's permitted, so he'll do it. It's only prohibited to him. He swapped it. But it's not prohibited to the rest of us, because it doesn't take on the same properties of the Chometz. It's not Toifes as Dhamma. It doesn't redefine that which you swapped it out for. It's only Avodah Zarah, Hekdesh, and Shvius that are Toifes as Dhamma. Then Rashi already was aware that there was another position out here. Rashi bavarns that other position. And he comes to say, don't think that that's correct. Even for him it's permissible, because since it's not Toifes as Dhamma, this is the Arla, this is what I switched it for, so this doesn't become our law, so other people can benefit from it. It's mutar na na. I can't, says Rashi, because I swapped the one for the other. This is my benefit from the Arla. There are those who say even he can benefit from it. You shouldn't do it, but even he can benefit from it. The Yeshua Mishaf la Asma mutar, v'tos will be other. This is incorrect. It can't be. What's Rashi's raya? Dim kein matzinu domim l'chometz b'pesach. If that would be the case, then chometz on Pesach has value. And what's that look? If I take your chametz on Pesach, yeah, what do you want to say?
So I just wanted to ask, it doesn't really work in terms of the first case with eating a cheeseburger and chafing, because they're two separate things. But why do we assume that someone who doesn't care about the status of chametz on Pesach will care about it after Pesach?
It's easy for him.
Is it so much more of a schlep to like sell his chametz?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess back then
it's hard. To clean and sell for chametz? Cleaning for chametz, we have a woman complaining about that for a whole year. People, look how many people go away for Pesach. Why do you think they're going away for Pesach?
Yeah, they don't
clean. For the omelet station? No. They want to clean. Oh. So it is a big pain. But to swap it out after, what's the big deal?
Right.
Some from guy will probably make a service for it, right? V'yei shoymim. Sha'af la'asma mutar. Those who said even he can benefit from it, but those who be on them. Says Rashi, can't be. Because the Rashi quotes from a Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim. Let's say I eat your chametz, I destroy your chametz, which you retained on Pesach. Do I have to pay you or not? So the Mishnah says, no, I do not have to pay you because I destroyed something that has no value. Why? Because since you can't benefit from this chametz that you retained on Pesach, you can't benefit from it. It has no value. If I destroy it, it's as if I destroyed something that has no value, so I don't have to pay for it. It has no value. This is your chametz you retained on Pesach. I burn it. You say, you burned my chametz. I say, yeah, but it had no value to you. Rashi says, 1 minute. It's also about no, it has no value, but 1 minute. If I swap it out for something else, even though you're not supposed to do it, if I myself can use it, it does have a value. What I swapped out for it, chilufei chametz, then it does have a value to me. I could swap it out for something else. So yes, I can't benefit from this item, but if I could swap it out, something else, it has a value. And if you're mazikit, you should have to pay me. Says Rashi, you see from here, must be that the person who swaps it out himself cannot benefit from it. The only people who can benefit, it's true, it doesn't take on the properties of chametz, that's only hektish and shvius. or Avodah Zarah, but others can benefit from it, but the person himself can. That's Rashi Shita. A little complicated, but that's Rashi Shita. Tosfos has the same opinion. A little bit more long-winded. We're going to skip the first part of Tosfos, and that's the easy part. Let's skip to the hard part. Six lines down in the narrow lines of Tosfos. First, he says, "How could I eat the pas? You know, the chametz I switched out with an anju. It's pasakum." Okay, you can figure that part out on your own. But it says six lines down in the narrow lines. Umash appears bekuntris. That was Rashi said. Shemar vichen. He benefits somewhat by swapping out his chametz of a pesach with chametz of a nachri. It doesn't take on the qualities of the chametz, that which you swapped it out for. The davku didei asserts, but it's still prohibited for him to benefit from it. Shabalo machmas chametz to Pesach, because it came directly from the chametz that he swapped out for it, that he retained on Pesach. Near shemar vikanam ugabidi too. No, but there's also a benefit for him too. Even though Rashi says he can't benefit from the chametz that he swaps out on Pesach, right, that which he swapped it for, it's only us midrabanan, as opposed to according to Rabbi Yehuda, chametz shalva Pesach is us midrabanan. So if I retain chametz shalva Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's us midrabanan. We don't pass it that way. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's us midrabanan. If I swap it out for the chametz of a non-Jew, even though it came as a result of this, and this is us or not, no, this is only us midrabanan. And it's only answer to me. If I give it to a woman, it could be good for Kiddushin. She can benefit from it. So I benefit not only that I can give it to others, but even for me, it lowered the level of the Easter from the Deiraisa to the Rabbanim. Shemavikonam, Gabiditu, Lamai, the Sakadai, the Kasha, the Havi Deiraisa. According to that, which is entertaining the possibility now, the Chamish over Pesach is also the Deiraisa, the Bechalif and Osir, Elum the Rabbanim. Chalif is only also the Rabbanim, Kamosha Pierce, Bekuntris, Bavadizar, Paragraph Yishmo, Rashi adds that Nakuda. In Avodah Zarah, that even the Issa for the person who swapped it out is only midrabanan. Gabi ki cherem, who? Pasuk says, if I swap out, you know, Avodah Zarah is a cherem, midrash hu, lemeute arla kaloya kerem, the Avodah Zarah is toifis damav as opposed to arla kaloya kerem, shemach, and mikidish midameh, and mikudeshes. That if I sell it, then I make kiddushin, the kiddushin is valid. Upirish bekunches, why is the kiddushin valid? Aren't I using the money that I swapped it out for, right? This is my oro, this is my kalaya karam. I can't use this to be mekadesh a woman because I can't benefit from it. So, and she can't benefit from it either. It's oro and kalaya karam. But let's say I switch it for this, new fruits. And I give those fruits to the woman. The kiddushin is valid. You know why the kiddushin? But I'm benefiting from it. I'm getting a wife out of this. No, the Easter is only me the rabbanan for me to benefit from it. And b'makom puri v'rivya, b'makom kiddushin, Chazal were never goyzer. That's how Tosfos explains that commission of Kiddushin. Mekidush v'demei mekudesh, it's a pirish bekuntris, de'davka be'kiddushe isha v'abashar chilufin asa midrabanan. It's only for Kiddushin that it works, not other kinds of, swapping it out and then using it for a kind of benefit. V'nir ha'shapash lo'le rashi, de'asa midrabanan mitam shapirish kan. It's only asa midrabanan, de'kein ratzinu damim v'chametz b'pesach. It has to be only asa midrabanan, but it's still asa to me, because otherwise it has value to me. If you're mazik it, you should have to pay me, but you don't have to pay me. Must be, I can't benefit from it. But still, that isa is only midrabanan. V'einze diyuka, he doesn't like that diyuk. Okay, Taiz is not happy with that diyuk. Fine, Tosfos goes to prove it from the Gemara Nedarim. We could read the whole Tosfos if you want to. Tosfos proves from the Gemara Nedarim that it's also midrabanan for you to benefit from, but not for others. Okay, so that's Rashi Shita, that's Tosfos Shita. If I have Isuri Hanoah that are not Hektish or Shviyas or Avodah Zarah and I swap it out for something else, the person who swapped it out can't benefit from it. Everybody else can. The Ramban disagree. They hold like that, Yesh Oimrim, that Rashi said, don't say like that, that's how they hold. Look at the Rambam. So over here says, the Rambam, Ches Machot, Sassur, Sarochet, Ezayim. Says the Rambam. Kol Michael Sho Ozebano, Chomeitz, Ola, Kalaya, Kerem. Im Nenev Elo Ocho, if I benefit, but I didn't eat it, like I gave it to my dog. He goes, Shemach, or Nasan Lakum, or I gave it to an Anju, and he gave me something in return, Ola, Klovim, I gave it to my dog, Eno Loike. You're not supposed to do that. I'm benefiting from it, clearly. But there's no Malkus. Umakun so Malkus Maradus, but we will give a Malkus to Rabbanon. But here comes the two words that are so important. Bahadome Mutare. I can use the money for whatever I want. Even me. Rashi said, other people can use the money. Other people can use the Chametz. The non-religious Jew will still swap it out because it lowers it from Chametz Shavu Pesach to Eirais. The Chametz Shavu Pesach only me the Rabbanon. That was I swapped it out for. But he can't benefit from it at all. L'chachila. Says the Rambam, he can. The money's mutter. He can do whatever he wants with it. Similarly, that's the opinion of the Ramban. Look over here, the Ramban, and that appears in Daled Amud Aleph. But the Ramban says, he quotes Rashi, then he says, but in the Yushalmi, it doesn't say like this. Yushalmi Matzasi. You know why the Kiddushin is valid? Not because in Makom Piri V'Rivya, they allowed me to use the money to get married. No. L'fichah Mekudeshes, l'fisha Ein, Eilu Demehem. These are not the money of Arla and Kalaya Kerem. They don't have the properties of Arla and Kalaya Kerem. The only thing that's typhus is dumb if it takes on the price. You know, that which you swap it out for takes on the properties. That which it was swapped for is Shviyas, is Hekdish, is Isurana. Shein Lahem Dama Ve'ein Taifsim Oysam Be'isar Ve'ein Eno Egezel Be'yad Amarcha. You're right, you obtained it illicitly, right? In an inappropriate fashion. You swapped it out for Isurana, but once you have it, you can use it for whatever you want. Ulafiza Tam Nira. Sha'af moicher atzmai mutter ba'oysan damim lefi sha'enam damim. They are not the same as the arlan koya kerem itself, or the chamesh of Pesach, v'lo matzinu damu Pesach. You're right, but if I mazik your chamesh, I don't have to pay. That's because you're not supposed to swap it out. You're not supposed to do that, but if you did, it's mutter for you too. The cave and shame asurim, but no, the atzman va'osanami l'maychan, you're not supposed to swap it. So if I mazik your chametz, I don't have to pay you because you're really not supposed to swap it for something else. But if you did, not only can others benefit from it, even the person who swapped it themselves, even though that was a benefit directly from the surah, no, you're not supposed to do that. That which you swapped it out for doesn't take on the properties of the chametz or the arlan koya kerem, and even he can benefit from it. With the Maltana, ain't good for Maman, but ain't a Dover Garm the Maman, El Dover Tiley Mutter. And that's the Shita Lanoi de Lami. Who wrote the Shita Lanoi de Lami? I have no idea. It's already in the name. Shita Lanoi de Lami in Kiddushin says the same thing. This is obviously not a mainstream position in the Rishayanim. That's why I bring you a Shita Lanoi de Lami in Kiddushin and Vavam Abbeis. But it's the opinion of the Ramban and Chulin. It's well known as the opinion of the Ramban and Chulin. Seems to be the opinion of Rambam. And that is the opinion of the Shita Lanoi de Lami too. If you have Yisur Ano, you're not supposed to sell it to obtain something in its, you know, in its place. Hey, Chodidaz Vinhu, Yachol Lekadesh B'demeyen. Not only can others benefit from it because it doesn't take on the properties of Yisur Ano, I can benefit from it too. Once I did it, Yochel Kaddish with the man, the Ein Tovsim is the man. V'lav Dafka Kiddish with the man, Lachachila Nami Mekaddish with the man. You can even Lachachila be Mekaddish with the man. Once you swapped it out, you can use it and use it for Kiddush and Lachachila. And the Ramam Kosev, the Koli Surah Hanam Mutal Lamaychron, the Ramam even says you can sell it Lachachila, She'ein Zahano, Dava Hananam Yigufa, Go and Sviam. The Ramam says you can even sell it Lachachila. Why? Why is this permitted? Chever, Avi Surah Hanam. What did I get for this Yisur HaHana? This. So this is the benefit that I derive from Yisur HaHana. How can this be permitted to me? Rashi makes a lot of sense. See, you can benefit from it. You know why? You didn't get it in lieu of Yisur HaHana. So for you, this is just, you know, paper or fruits or whatever. It's not Arla. It's not Kaloya Kerem. It doesn't take on the properties of Arla and Kaloya Kerem. The only thing that transfers is Shvius, Hektish, and Avay Bizarre. But for me, I benefited, you know, this is a product of this. This is Asabana. How can I use this? L'chadchila. The Rambam even says, I can even swap it out, L'chadchila. How? Aren't I benefiting from this? Rashi makes a whole lot of sense. Sounds weird that I can't benefit from it, but you can. But Rashi makes a whole lot of sense. This I only obtained because of this. If this is Asabana, how can I possibly use this? The Rambam, she don't know me. All say, no, it's fine, it's mutter. Why? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has Chuvas called the Chuvas Ben Poras. I used to read them, I don't know why. But just straight. I like Rabbi Yosef Engel. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has in Chuvas Ben Poras the following explanation for this Ramban. He explains based on the Ritva. In Masechta Sukkah, the Ritva explains comments on the Gemara of Sukkah and Lamed Aleph from Beis. There the Gemara says, that lulav shel avodah zarah go yitovim nato kosher. Avodah zarah is prohibited in hana. What if I take a lulav shel avodah zarah and I use it? Are you yaitzi or not? Gemara says yes. Why? Did I benefit from the avodah zarah? I did. How did I benefit? I used it for a mitzvah. Isn't that called benefiting from the avodah zarah? So you might have said, if you learn mesechtas nedarim and elsewhere, no, mitzvah is lav lehonas nidu. A mitzvah is not considered to be hana. That's what you could have said. That's not what the Ritva says. That's not what the Ritva... You could have said that, and that's what other Rishonim say. A mitzvah is never considered benefit from Avodah Zarah. Mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu. Mitzvahs are not there for our benefit, for our enjoyment. serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not what the Ritva says. The Ritva says, no, a mitzvah is hana. I get a lot of reward for it, right? Mitzvah is hana, says the Ritva. It's because it's not directly related to the item. See, if I take a lulav Shel Avodah Zarah, this lulav Shel Avodah Zarah, I'm not benefiting from the lulav. The lulav enables me to get brownie points. Obviously, religion is more complicated than that, but let's just go back to the kindergarten model. Enables me to get brownie points in Shamayim. So am I benefiting from the lulav as an item of Avodah Zarah? You know, Yisuri Hanan? No. But because of this, I got brownie points elsewhere. That's not called, says the Ritva, benefiting from an item. The fact that an item caused me to benefit elsewhere is not called benefiting from Yisuri Hanan. The only time it's called benefiting from Yisuri Hanan, which is prohibited, is if it's directly related to the item. Says the Ritva, V'afa gav d'mishani ba'asiyas mitzvahs. I get schar in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba for taking lulav. And he says that is reward. You could have said mitzvah is not reward. It's not called benefit. He says, no, a mitzvah, what, ain't benefit gedol lemizu. What could be more valuable than a mitzvah? When I use the item itself. This item causes me, my bank account, to rise in Shamayim. That's not considered direct enough to be considered benefiting from Yisur Hanah. So come back over here. So too, says Rabbi Yosef Engel. I have Yisur Hanah. I have oil. I have kalai. I have chametz. I swap it out for this. Rashi says, well, then you can't use this. You only got this. It's illegal benefit. It only came about as a result of Yisur Hanah. And the Ramban and the Rambam and the Shittu and other ones. No, it's all fine. Why? I only got this as a result of that. The answer is, that's not called benefiting from Yisuri Hanah. Yisuri Hanah, in order to violate benefiting from Yisuri Hanah, must be directly related to the item. The fact that this item enabled me to get other money, enabled me to get other fruits, not only did it not take on the property of the Yisuri Hanah, that's not even called benefiting from the Yisuri Hanah. That's called benefit that's, you know, caused elsewhere. That's too causative, it's too far removed. That's not called benefiting from Yisuri Hanah. Just like the Ritva said, I could use a lulav Shel Avodah Zarah, even though a mitzvah is hana. We could have said it's not. He said a mitzvah is hana. It's not directly related to the lulav. The lulav is causing me to benefit elsewhere. So too, the chametz, the kalai kerem, the oil is causing me to get money elsewhere. That's not direct enough to violate benefiting from Yisur Hanah. Based on this comment of the Ritva, so Tzvi Pesach Frank says a chiddush, tremendous chiddush l'maisa. And then I have a chumrah. I don't have too many, but I am chumrah. He says a chiddush l'maisa. Why? Because the Gemara says Maseches Avodah Zarah the following: a mace is prohibited in Hanah. How do you know? Because the pasuk says by Miriam, Atama Sham Miriam, and then the pasuk says by Egla Arufa, Va'arfu Sham as Ha'egla Banochal. You should shech the Egla Arufa if you find the cadaver in between two cities, the closest city. Proximity has to take responsibility for the cadaver. That we didn't treat our guest properly, and he ended up with a corpse outside of the city. So they have to take responsibility for it and perform the whole process called the Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa is Aser and Hana. So and it says, "Arfu Sham as Egla Benochal." The pasuk says, "By Miriam, Vatamas Sham Miriam, Sham Sham the Egla Rufa." Just like the Egla Rufa is Aser and Hana, Miriam was Aser and Hana, Mace is Aser and Hana too. Mace Yisrael only Mace Yisrael. What about Mace Yaakov? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a big machlokes Rishayim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Shim Mem Tes Sif Aleph over here is Zion, that Ovdei Kachavim are also Aser and Hana. Also can't benefit from Meisei Akum. It's a machlokes Rishayim. We passing, he can't benefit from Meisei Akum. If he can't benefit from Meisei Akum, we have a problem. Many problems. One of them is, with the Gemara Meseches Bechairis over here, Mem Hamad Aleph, the Gemara says, Meseches Bechairis, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maisa b'talmidim shor b'yishmael. There was once a maisa with Rabbi Yishmael and his talmidim. Shashol kuzayna achash and eschay v'sreifal the melech. There was a woman who was administered capital punishment to her for all of her high crimes. Umatu b'masai mechamish mishnai matzamos. And they performed an autopsy on her and found 252 bones. How could they perform an autopsy on a mace and a cadaver? Isn't that benefiting from the cadaver? Isn't that benefit? Well, you'll say, well, she was a Nachri. Ah, but we pasuk, you know, to benefit from a Nachri either. How are they able to perform the autopsy?
What's the net? What's with an N and do an autopsy.
They don't learn stuff when they do an autopsy?
Oh, it's for like to...
For learning stuff. So the truth of the matter is, of Tzvi Pesach Frank over here in the Har Tzvi, in the Reisha and Ches, quote to Machlekes between the Sam Sof and the Noi de Yehuda, both thought autopsies were prohibited, unless, of course, it could save somebody's life when there's imminent danger. Can't perform autopsies gratuitously, even to learn stuff for the future. It has to be imminent danger. But what's the issue to perform autopsies, you know, when it's not imminent danger? So the Noi de Yehuda said two things. He said, You're delaying the burial of the mace, and you're mutilating the mace. Two isurim. You have to kabar tik barenu by yomahu. You got to bury him on that day. You can't delay a burial unnecessarily. If we do it for the covet of the mace, those relatives could come. Then it's allowed, and you're not allowed to mutilate a mace. So some sefer asks, why didn't he say? Because you're benefiting from looking at the mace in autopsy. I'm learning stuff. Why isn't that also hanam in a mace? I'm learning stuff. Says it's he pays up Frank. He answers the kasha of the Ksam Sofer. Why didn't he say? He said, pile on another Yisur. You're benefiting from the mace. You see from the Gemara Chol B'Chayrus, that's not called benefiting from the mace. They did an autopsy on a non-Jewish woman. Non-Jews are also prohibited in Hana after they're dead. Or may say Akum also also in Hana. So how could it be that they did an autopsy? The answer is, because I'm not benefiting from the autopsy. How do I benefit from the mace? It teaches me things that I can use to heal people later. Says a T. Pesach Frank, that's too far removed. Like this ritva, in the footnotes, he quotes this ritva. He says, Hanos, Limud, Aideh, Histakos, Beber Amesh, Nishaltimi, Roife. What's he going to learn stuff? Is that called Isser Hanom and Amesh, Mutalo, Lesamu, Kabul, Yadio, Aideh, Histakos? Let's say I'm not the one who's performing the autopsy. Someone else is performing it. I'm just going to watch. Is that called benefiting from the mace? He says, no. Hashabti lo shezehu gram hanav lo shenen and the gufa iser. That's not called benefiting from the gufa iser. Caused me benefit elsewhere. That's not a violation of hanav and ames. Just like over here, I swap out isurei hanav. Rashi says, well, then what you swapped it for is also to you. The Ramban says, no, it's not. The answer is, it's too far into it. Why not? I did benefit from it because I swapped it out. Isn't that benefiting from the iser hanav? No, it's too far removed. It's only iser hanav. Violating iser hanav, I benefit from the item itself. If it causes me hana elsewhere, I gain knowledge that I can heal people later on in the future, that's not called benefiting from the mace, that's not called benefiting from the chametz, and therefore what I swapped it out for is permissible even to the person who swapped it out, his mother. So therefore, Rabbi Yisrael, I leave you the following chumrah. You know what a body's exhibit is? You ever been there? South Street Seaport, they used to have it for a long time. They take, in our strange society that we live in, people love blood and guts and gore and whatever, we can't get enough of it. So they took body parts and they preserved it in a kind of exhibit, which is somehow a chalamoid entertainment for people to go and look at someone else's spleen and their colon and their small intestine. And you go and you see an entirely filleted body, you know, without the skin, on it. And this is somehow enjoyable. People pay admission, it's expensive to go to. It travels around the world, called the Bodies Exhibit. Bodies, the exhibit, I think. So such a thing mutter. Let's assume it's Mesa Yaakov. Mesa Yaakov, Asen Ano. But is this called really benefiting from it? Well, the autopsies are mutter, so that's a permitted, because I'm not directly benefiting from it. It's teaching me something that I'll be able to heal people later on in the future. So I think, tentatively, that's only for a doctor who's learning. Why is he doing the autopsy? So he could learn to help people in the future. Why is the guy going chalamoy to look at bodies the exhibit? He wants entertainment now. I'm not learning stuff so I could heal people in the future. I need something to do with my kids on chalamoy, or I need something to, you know, satisfy my craving to see blood and guts and gore and whatever, however we, you know, I don't know what that means about us psychologically, but that need to see this kind of stuff, so that satisfies that need, so I get enjoyment from looking at the mace itself right now, that's called benefiting from the Isa Anah. So to me, it seems that such a thing would be prohibited, unless it's a science student who's going to learn about the body, so then he's going to learn stuff for the future, that's allowed.
Yeah, what if you bring like a group of kids to, like, for educational reasons, just to learn like some basic anatomy?
Then maybe. But if you're going for the entertainment value, I don't think so. I think that's called benefiting from the Isa Anah. To me, it sounds like it's also. Okay, Chavir. Tomorrow, I need to give shir early. Smicha shir at 1 o'clock. So maybe we'll do 11 o'clock.